Blog Talk Radio.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now faith has I.
Love is to me.
Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. Today is Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. We're almost done with this month. It's amazing. It's amazing how this month is almost over with. Well, and with this month is our series, God's Third I Will. I hope and pray that today you find yourself in the will of the Lord with God having your back. We just played the hymn, Love Lifted Me. We're talking about God upholding his people with the right hand of his righteousness. This word, uphold, in Hebrew means to grasp, to lay hold of, to hold fast, to hold secure, to lift above the fray. God has promised to lift you and me above the fray, above all that would have to do us harm. Heavenly Father, we praise you today because we know that you will keep your promise, that we have nothing to fear because you are with us. We need not be dismayed, for you are our God. We know that you will strengthen us. We know that you will help us. We know that you will uphold us with the right hand of thy righteousness because you've already done it. You've done it again and again and again. And yes, we can sing that song with great joy and with great expectation, because your love has lifted us above the fray. So, Lord, make it real, impress it in our minds again today that you are there to grab a hold of us, carry us, and lift us above the attacks of the enemy. What a precious promise, Lord. We praise you for it. Now bless us with this study, we pray, in Jesus' name. Well, let us turn to today's discussion, which is Wednesday, March 30th. And today, again, no surprise whatsoever, that we're talking about sacred biblical hymnody inspires God's people to turn to the Lord for divine maintaining. The fact that you are still upon the earth is proof that God has maintained you. The enemy would have to sift you as wheat, but God has what? Maintained you. Let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 5, and it says, this beautiful, beautiful song, it's a song of David, it's a song of trust. David in chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Preserve me, O Lord, for in thee do I put my trust." It's a song of trust. It's a song of trust. The opening statement is, "Preserve me." Why, Lord? Because in thee do I put all my eggs into one basket. We've already talked about how we're not to diversify. When it comes to God, now, you do what you want with your finances. You do what you want with your retirement plan. You do as your financial advisor tells you to do, which is always, they always say the same thing, diversify. I haven't found one financial advisor who has another strategy. Everything is diversify. You almost wonder, why do you need a financial advisor if you know what they're going to say? That's another conversation for another day. My brothers and sisters, when it comes to the Lord, you do not diversify. You put all your proverbial eggs into God's hands. And this is what David says here in Psalm 16:1. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust," or "in thee I put all my eggs." I trust that you got everything under control. Then in verse 5 he says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup." In other words, he says, listen, my cup of blessing and my cup of sustenance and the cup that will sustain me all my life and the person who will maintain the portion of my inheritance that I don't lose what he has apportioned to me is God. It says at the close of verse 5, he says, "You maintainest," or "you have my life and my possessions and my retirement and my current existence and my salary. You have all of me. You maintain all of me in your hand." You see, sacred biblical hymnody reminds us that God has complete control over your person, over all that you own, over all that he's given you in this life, and it is he who maintains it. Sacred biblical hymnody inspires God's people to turn to the Lord for divine maintaining. When what happens? When life's goings get very tough. In this psalm, David was experiencing tough times. That's what he was experiencing, tough times. And yet, he says, "I know, God, you will preserve me." In other words, you will not allow me to be taken down. You will not allow me to be cut down before. You will not allow me to be destroyed early on in life. You will preserve me. In thee do I put all my trust. And it is you, in verse 5, who maintains my lot or my portion or what you have assigned to me in this life. You know, every person has been assigned a certain lot, a certain portion by God. Believe it or not, he has. And no one can take that away from you unless God allows it. And here David prays, I know he won't allow it. I know he will provide me with divine maintenance or divine maintaining. Here's another scripture that you may want to consider under sacred hymnody. Here's another song that tells us pretty much the same thing. Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Let's start at verse 21. Now, this is not a psalm of David. This is a psalm of Asaph, another servant of the Lord, a choir director in Israel. And in his song, he says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. In other words, he's mad at God. He's upset with God. He's frustrated with God. You know, have you ever come to a point in your life where you say, you know, where's God in all this? Why has he allowed this to happen to me? You know, silly talk comes out of our mouth. We start blaming God for our circumstances. We start blaming God. We say, you know, God, you haven't been on the job. You let certain things happen to me. So this is Asaph. His heart is grieved and he's pricked. He's upset. Who's he upset with? With the Lord. Verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He's talking to God. He says, listen, I was like a rabid dog. Instead of not biting the hand that feeds me, I bit the hand that feeds me. I was acting like a brute beast. I was acting like an animal who is unthankful. I was foolish. I was ignorant. I was animalistic towards God. Can you imagine a believer acting like that? Well, we've experienced that. There's no way that you could have been happy with God in every circumstances. Every now and then, maybe once or twice in your life, you were grieved with God because things weren't going right for you, and you're saying, "Well, God has let me down." Well, of course, Asaph said, "Well, when I said that, when I had that attitude, when I was biting the hand that fed me, I was ignorant. I was foolish. I was a beast. I had no human sense. I was acting like an animal." And, you know, animals don't have sense like humans, or should have a sense of God. Nevertheless, he says, despite my actions towards you, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. In other words, you have not left me. Now I grumbled and I complained and I acted ignorant and I acted foolish. And, you know, I wasn't nice towards you, O Lord. Nevertheless, you did not kick me out of your presence. I was with thee. Thou hast holden me. You stayed me, or you kept me above the fray with your right hand. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are times in our lives when we don't sing songs of praise. Let's be honest. Who hasn't been mad at God for one reason or another? Who prayed to God for something and God didn't grant it? In fact, God gave you the opposite of what you prayed for, and you were mad at the Lord for a month or two. Who hasn't gone through that? Am I the only one? Am I the only ignorant one, or the beastly one among us? Yet, despite that, despite my foolishness and my ignorance and my tantrum and me acting like a baby at Toys R Us when mommy or daddy didn't get him the toy and he's on the floor having a conniption and, you know, having a baby tantrum, yet despite that, God didn't walk away. He didn't abandon us despite our foolish behavior, our childish behavior. And what did he do? He lifted us above our circumstances by the power of his right hand. You see, the promise in Isaiah is, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand is the right hand of power. And God promises to do what? To, with his power above our very ugly circumstances. I got one more song for you. Psalm 109. Let's go to Psalm 109. Psalm 109, verse 31. Again, this is another song, another hymn. Verse 31. For he, referring to God, for he, or the Lord, shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. My brothers and sisters, Satan is out to condemn your soul every day. Did you know that Satan tattles on you when you sin? Do you know that Satan, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren? That he tattles, he'll say, Lord, look at this one. This one claims to be your child, and look what they were doing. You are to abandon them. Again, Psalm 109:31. For he, God, shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Well, Pastor, I'm not poor. Well, you're spiritually poor. That's what the reference is pointing to. Let's turn to Zechariah. Turn to the book of Zechariah, if you will. Turn there with me. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. I want you to see how Satan accuses the children of God and how he is the accuser of the brethren. And when he comes to accuse you in hopes that God will cast you aside for turning to sin, let's read. It says here in Zechariah chapter 3, he showed me Joshua the high priest. Now, this is a different Joshua. This is not the same Joshua as the servant of Moses. This is another man centuries later who also was named Joshua. He happened to be the high priest during the times of Zerubbabel, who happened to be a leader in Israel who was sent to rebuild the temple. Joshua and Zerubbabel were allowed by King Cyrus of Persia to return to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So it says, and God showed me in a vision Joshua the high priest, this is the prophet speaking, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So notice, the angel of the Lord is the defense attorney. Satan is the accusing attorney or the prosecutorial attorney. And so he's the accuser of the brethren. He's got some dirt on Joshua the high priest. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that have chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. And when pointing to Joshua, he asked the question, is not this man a brand of the fire? Isn't that true about you and me? Weren't we destined for eternal damnation? Weren't we destined for eternal fire? But Jesus reached down and pulled you out and saved you? Were you not a brand? Was I not a brand plucked out of the fire of eternal damnation? Yes, by grace we are. Now Joshua the high priest was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. And he answered and spake and the angel answered and spake unto those who stood around Joshua, saying, take away from Joshua his filthy garments. And he said to Joshua, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. So what is Jesus? What does the angel of the Lord do here? What is the defense attorney of the believers do for us? Well, he takes away our filthy garments and he gives us clean garments. Isn't that what Jesus does? So, my brothers and sisters, let's go back to Psalm 109, verse 31. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Who is standing accusing you and saying that you stand condemned in your soul? It is Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us day and night. And yet we have Jesus who does what? Who stands in opposition to Satan, who accuses us, and Jesus cleans us and gives us a change of raiment. You see, Psalm 16:5, Psalm 73:23, and Psalm 109:31 proves that if you turn to sacred biblical hymnody, it will remind you that when life's goings get very tough, God will show up and maintain you and keep you from being accused and destroyed. This is what God does. He says, I will uphold you when Satan comes with dirt on you, and probably the dirt is true. Probably Satan's got some pictures of you. They're not very nice. Maybe Satan's got the evidence. He's got the video. He's showing it to God, and God says it's under the blood. It's under the cross. His marvelous grace. Even when you complain against, you have no reason to complain against God, but you know, things don't go right in life all the time, and we sit there and we say, oh, God, you let this happen to me, you let that happen to me, and we talk so foolishly, and we sound so ignorant, and we act so beastly against the Lord, and yet, does he kick you to the curb and says, bye? No. The psalmist says he keeps me right next to him. He keeps me close to him, because he that began the good work in you and in me will bring it to completion. This is what God does. He strengthens us, he helps us, and he upholds us. He lifts us above the fray. Even when we attack God and we have no right to, he puts up with it. He lets it go by until we've had a good tantrum. And then when we come to ourselves and we, oh, my goodness, what did I say? I was so foolish. That's how good God is. That's how merciful he is. That's how patient he is. And this is why we should always remember that he is there to maintain us, even when we badmouth him. What an amazing text. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. There's so much to think about in today's study, going over Psalm 16:5, Psalm 73:23, and Psalm 109, verse 31. That's a lot to chew on. And I pray that you would. I pray that you would ponder those verses and say, you know, God, maybe at this stage I did give you some lip. I did give you some back talk. Maybe, Lord, I said some things that I failed to repent of, but I want to fail today. I want to repent today. I want to repent of those things that I said today, because you're so good. You're so wonderful. You're such a merciful Father. Amen. Well, let me close today's broadcast with another wonderful hymn. Until we see ourselves again tomorrow, God bless you all. In Jesus' wonderful name. Lord, my shepherd, I am found.
My soul.